Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning on this beautiful, wonderful, cold day in November. Hallelujah. Thankful God woke me up this morning. And the word that God gave me this morning is coming out of Hebrews chapter 12. And it just says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. We have to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one that gave his life for us, our sinful selves. He loved us enough to give his life for us. We are blessed beyond measure that God gave us a do-over. Hallelujah. So I'm grateful for the do-over this morning and to be with you as we move forward through God's wonderful and mighty word. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning with a grateful, thankful heart, blessed to know that you woke me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, ready to move forward in your word, Lord God. I pray that this word touches someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, oh God, for you are absolutely everything, and I am so grateful, again, to be your daughter, to be called a child of the Most High God. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, as I read and teach your word, Lord God. May it be a balm in Gilead to heal a broken heart, to mend a wounded soul, to set a captive free. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I lift up this word, thanking you, Lord God, for the armor that we wear every day, girded and ready to go, Lord God, with that breastplate, with the word, with the sword of the Spirit, knowing that you are with us wherever we go. Why? Because your word says so. And Lord God, I stand on your word knowing that all things are possible through you and your Son, Christ Jesus, who gives us strength, wisdom, and understanding. Father God, again, I ask you to increase as I decrease. For Lord God, you are my strength. You are my Redeemer. You are my Father God. And the Savior, Christ Jesus, walks with me, talks with me, and holds my hand. In the midnight hour, I'm grateful, thankful that he gave his life for me. And by his blood, by his stripes, I am healed. I am set free. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, I lift up your name, Father God. Abba, Father. Elohim. Yahweh, I thank you in the name of the matchless Savior, Yeshua, Messiah, Christ Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, giving love to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and to all of you this morning. Your host is feeling a lot better. Thank you, God. I am grateful to be able to speak a lot clearer today than I did on the other. But we're going to get in the word. Why? Because I got to go to the doctor. So I love you all, and I thank you all for listening in, and let's get started. And we're coming out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 27 and 28 this morning. And all I can say is, okay, y'all, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready for a biblical ride. Because this word is don't play. I got to give you a 911, 411 611, you name it, 1-1, word from the prophet Ezekiel. And it says this, the word of the Lord came again to me saying, now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyre and say to Tyre, you who are situated at the entrance of the sea, merchant of the peoples on many coastlands, thus says the Lord God. O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the midst of the sea. Your builders have perfected your beauty. They made all your planks of fir trees from Sinar. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make you a mast. Of oaks from Bashan, they made your oars. The company of Asherites have inlaid your planks with ivory from the coast of Cyprus. Fine embroidered linen from Egypt was what you spread for your sails. Blue and purple from the coast of Lishan was what covered you. Inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your oarsmen, your wise men, Otel, were in you. They became your pilots, elders of Gebal, and its wise men were in you to caulk your steams off the ships of the sea, and the oarsmen were in you to market your merchandise. Those from Persia, Lydia, and Libya were in your army as men of war. They hung shields and helmets in you. They gave splendor to you. Men of Arvad with your army were on your walls all around, and the men of Gemet were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They made your beauty perfect. Charish was your merchant because of your many luxury goods. They gave you silver, iron, and lead for your goods. Javan, Tubal, and Mechek were your traders. They bartered human lives and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. Those from the house of Targarthma traded for your wares with horses, steeds, and mules. The men of Dedan were your traders. Many isles were the market of your hand. They brought you ivory tusks and ebony as payment. Syria was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made. They gave you for your wares emeralds, purple, embroidery, fine linen, corals, and rubies. Judah and the land of Israel were your traders. They traded for your merchandise, wheat of minute, millet, honey, oil, and balm. Damascus was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made, because of your many luxury items with the wine of Helbon, with white wool. Dan and Javan paid for your wares, traversing back and forth, wrought iron, cassa, and cane were among your merchandise. Dedan was your merchant in saddlecloth for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your regular merchants. They traded with you in lambs, rams, and goats. The merchants of Sheba and Rama were your merchants. They traded for your wares, the choicest spices, all kinds of precious stones and gold. Haran, Kenan, Eden, and merchants of Sheba, Assyria, and Comad were your merchants. These were your merchants in choice items, in purple cloth, in embroidered garments, in chests of multicolored apparel, in sturdy woven cords which were in your marketplace. The ships of Tarshish were carriers of your merchandise. You were filled and very glorious in the midst of the sea. Your oarsmen brought you into many waters, but the east wind broke you in the midst of the seas. Your riches, wares, and merchandise, your mariners and pilots, your caulkers and merchandisers, all your men of war who are in you and the entire company which is in your midst will fall into the midst of the sea on the day of your ruin. The common land will shake at the sound of the cry of your pilots. All who handle the oars, the mariners, the pilots of the sea will come down from their ship and stand on the shore. They will make their voice heard because of you. They will cry bitterly and cast dust on their heads. They will roll about in ashes. They will shave themselves completely bald because of you. Gird themselves with sackcloth and weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. In their wailing for you, they will take up a lamentation and lament for you. What city is like Tyre, destroyed in the midst of the sea? When your waves went out by sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth with your many luxury goods and your merchandise. But you are broken by the seas in the depths of the waters. Your merchandise and the entire company will fall into your midst. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you. Their kings will be greatly afraid, and their countenance will be troubled. The merchants among the people will hiss at you. You will become a horror and be no more forever. Wow. And it says this in Dr. Stanley's life lesson for this chapter 27 of Ezekiel. Word, it says Ezekiel 27:36, the merchants among the peoples will hiss at you. You will become a horror and buy no more forever. Despite a fabulous location and plenty of fresh water available, God foretold that Tyre would cease to be a city and remain a desolation forever. So he spoke, and so it has been even to this day. Even to this day. Don't play with God. What God says he will do, he will do. God is not a man, and he does not what? He does not lie. God does not lie. And we got to remember that as we go through life. Remember, the only truth you know is the truth that God gives you. Because you know if God says it, it will be. God does not play. And we know that this city is still in Lebanon. It says Tyre is a city in Lebanon, one of the oldest continually inhabited cities in the world. Though in medieval times, for some centuries, by just a teeny population, it was one of the earliest Phoenician metropolises and the legendary birthplace of Europa, her brothers Cadmus and Phoenix, as well as Carthage's founder, Neddo. You know, so it's this little small beachfront town in Lebanon. You know, it's, you know, not big as a hot minute. But it still exists, but it's not like it was. It's not the place it was. You know, it's right there, right by Israel, right up over there in Syria. You know, not, hallelujah, not big as a minute, near Cyprus, on the border of Turkey and Israel. It's really closer to Israel than Turkey, but it's right there in Lebanon. And we know that all kind of crazy is going on over there right now. And understand that God does not play. It's right outside of Beirut, which we know was practically destroyed. You know, and it's told to talk about excavations of Tyre were founded on an offshore island. Alexander the Great constructed a causeway during his siege of the city, and the island became a peninsula. You know, so there's a lot of history in Tyre. So it's still there. It's just not what it used to be. Let's put it that way. Because what God says he will do, he will do. So it is still in existence to today. And just what Dr. Stanley said, you know, remain a desolation forever. So he spoke, and so it has been, even to this day. It's not, it's beautiful, yes. It's on the sea, yes. But it's not what it was. It really is a kind of dead-looking city because all you have is parts of old city still up there. You know, old things. It's historical, let's put it that way. If you wanted to go and visit Beirut, I personally would not want to go to Lebanon. And it goes on to tell us in chapter 28, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a God. What did we just talk about? I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a God. Though you set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. But your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their sword against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the sea. Will you still say before him who slays you, I am a God? But you shall be a man and not a God in the hand of him who slays you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of aliens. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold, the workmanship of your trembles and pipes, was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. And we know now who we're talking about, right? Y'all know we're talking about the devil, correct? We're talking about Satan here. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face towards Sidon and prophesy against her and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Sidon. I will be glorified in your midst, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I execute judgments in her and am hallowed in her. For I will send pestilence upon her and blood in her streets. The wounded shall be judged in her midst by the sword against her on every side. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall no longer be a pricking briar are a painful thorn for the house of Israel from among all who are around them, who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, and am hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they will dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob, and they will dwell safely there, build houses, and plant vineyards. Yes, they will dwell securely when I execute judgment on all those around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. And some life lessons. And here's what the Bible says about the origin, work, and destiny of Satan. And it says this, this is Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 19. In Ezekiel 29, 12 through 19, tells us that God created Satan as a beautiful and eminent angel, a being as real as any of us. The devil lusted after God's place and position, so rebelled against the Creator, who subsequently cast him and his co-conspirators to earth. Here he set up a counterfeit kingdom in order that he might reign as the God of this world. Satan uses deception and division to ensnare believers. He works tirelessly to tempt us, hoping that we will fall into sin, thereby damaging our relationship with God and ruining our witness for Christ. He also desires to keep unbelievers away from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, thereby destroying them. Jesus called him a murderer and the father of lies, John 8:44. And as such, he instigates pain, sorrow, and death all over the world. When Satan speaks, he accuses and deceives. He condemns, antagonizes, and confuses us in an attempt to fill us with doubt and despair. And we're seeing it every day. We are in, as the temptation said back in the day, we in a ball of confusion. That's what the world is today. Hey, hey, fusion. You know, where people want to try to make a lie into the truth and the truth into a lie. What's good, bad, and what's bad, good. You know, I'm going to do me instead of I'm going to help my fellow man. It's become a selfish, self-centered, egotistical, heretical, and you name it kind of world. We are living in some dark and evil times where folks want to be, led by an autocrat. They want to be told what to do, but then don't want to be told what to do. You know, it's just the craziness. When all you have to do is what? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we look unto Jesus, we know that what we're doing is right. You know, I remember back in the day we had the what would Jesus do? We need to bring what would Jesus do back. Because what would Jesus do? Jesus would be cleaning some church houses right about now. He and that whip of his would be tearing up some stuff. Because the church house has become corrupted. Folks bringing everything into the God's house that God is like, what in the world? You know, we are got folks drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, I was reading an article the other day, a young man lost 27 members of his family who went with Jim Jones and had to drink, not wanted to drink, but had to drink the Kool-Aid because a gun was at their heads. Got the parents and then got the children. Because they knew if they forced the parents by telling the parents they would kill the parents would drink and then they could kill the children because the children would follow after mom and dad. If you were ever a part of that, praise the Lord that you got out and didn't go with him to the jungle, didn't follow after him, because this man thought that he was God and all he was a spirit of Antichrist. which is all up in things right now. And that's what it is, a spirit of Antichrist. Because the deceiver hasn't truly come yet, but when he does, we will know it. Because so many other things will fall in place, which we will read in the next month. And when we get to Revelation, you will see a lot. Take notes. You know, we have folks talking about, well, we in Revelation. No, we're not there yet. We're on the cusp. But when we know that Jesus is the author and finisher, we know that some things can be changed. And we can prolong a good life. We can prolong our time if we do right. But God already knows what we are. We're confused, a ball of confusion. And this is what Dr. Staley says. When Satan speaks, he accuses every day on television. And deceives every day on television. He condemns every day on television, antagonizes every day on every kind of social media, from Facebook to Twitter to TikTok to Instagram to this gram, that gram, and every gram. Come on now. And confuses us in an attempt to fill us with doubt and despair. Children, little children, 10, 9, 8 years old, killing themselves. Because they're being bullied. Because they're being vilified. Not just by their fellow students, but even by educators and teachers in the classroom. And my feeling is this, if you see something that's wrong, speak up. Don't be afraid to speak truth to power. If a teacher is doing something wrong, speak up. If kids are being bullied, speak up. I'm speaking up, and I'm speaking this because what's going on now is stuff that's always going on. You know, I'm speaking my testimony. My youngest son was called a terrorist because he had Middle Eastern features as a child. Bullied from the second grade. All the way through until we finally just said, forget this foolishness and moved out of the city we lived in because we couldn't take it anymore. And I was not going to let my son become a victim. When your husband has to repeat the third and fourth grade because your child is being bullied not only by his classmates but by the principal of his school. Come on now. But God, don't tell me. You know, folks look at you outside. They don't know what you've been through. But I tell you this, that same child graduated from college debt-free. Not one dime does he owe the government or anybody else because he worked hard and he finished the race. Call his degree, and he got it. And I know that he is going to be blessed beyond measure because he's a hard worker and a fighter. He didn't give up, and he had faith. And he still has faith that all things will work for his good because he trusts in Jesus. We got to understand the enemy is confusion. He is the accuser. He is the deceiver. He is the one that condemns and antagonizes. He is the one that folks want to try to say, oh, it's just a joke. I didn't really mean that. Look it out. Face of evil is all over this world. It's not just America that's got divisiveness and craziness. It's everywhere. But we as Christians have got to stand up and say no more will we allow politics and divisiveness in our church body. No more will we allow confusion to reign in God's house. We got to stand up and say, not today, Satan. And this is what Dr. Staley says, but Christians have no cause to fear Satan. This is true for two reasons. First, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. John 4, 1 John 4, 4. We live under protection of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can happen to us that God does not allow. And we know that whatever he permits, no matter how bad it may seem, he can turn for our good. Romans 8:28. For all things work together for our good. Why? Because we trust in the Lord. Second, all of us who have read scripture have seen Satan's obituary. The Bible says he will be thrown into the lake of fire and eternally punished for his rebellion against Almighty God. Revelation 20:10. The Apostle Peter refers to Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Yet, even though the devil is a lion, he's a lion on a short leash. His eternal destination, like ours, is Satan. While he may be able to harass us, tempt us, and prompt us to stumble, our ultimate victory over him and his work was secured for us when Jesus Christ defeated sin once and for all on the cross. We got to thank our Savior. We got to thank Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, every day for giving us a new day. I didn't mean to preach this morning, but this word touched my heart. We got to be alert every day because the devil is roaring lion, looking and waiting to devour you. You can't get caught up in all the mess that's going on in this world. You got to stay focused and stay focused on the word and stay focused on Jesus Christ. You know, I am a firm believer that all things are working. And watch God work. God will show up and show out. And unfortunately, man is hard-hearted and hard-headed. God can put it right in your face. This is a lie. But if you've been told that lie over and over and over and over, you start to believe it. And you are going to stand on that lie, and even if it kills you. And so many times the lies are killing people. And not ever looking at the liar. We got to stop looking at liars and start looking for the truth ourselves. And be willing to say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. From my hard head and my hard heart. Ezekiel 28:12, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Many scholars believe this passage speaks of Satan and how through his rebellion he lost his privileged place in heaven and became the devil. As a fallen angel, he possesses power, but not all power. And we got to remember that. We give the devil credit for stuff the devil didn't even do. Because men have, what do we have? We have free will. And some things, men are just evil. Some people are just evil. And you can't blame the devil for what they are and who they are. The devil ain't got every time we want to say the devil did this and the devil did that, the devil don't have that kind of power. We are the devil sometimes. Evil is evil. And the devil is not always the center of it. Sometimes you just have an evil heart. There are folks that got evil hearts. And they want to say the devil this and the devil that. The devil doesn't have omnipotent power like God, like Jesus Christ. He can't be everywhere like God. He can't be everywhere like Jesus. He can only be in one place. What did he say? I'm walking to and fro. To and fro. That's what he said. I'm walking to and fro over the earth. And if he's walking to and fro, he can't be everywhere at one time. But understand, a third of heaven came with him. So there are demons out there, yes. And they are powerful because they are fallen angels. Don't play. Understand, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and authorities of darkness. This is no joke. And we got to understand, this is no joking manner. salvation is real. Just like darkness is real, we got to walk and stay in our square and stay in the light. Understand. God is with us wherever we go. All we got to do is call on his name. Call on the Father. Call Elohim. Call Yahweh. Call on Jesus. And I know it's true. When you're under attack, you better know the name. You better know the name. And this is what it says in Ezekiel 28 and 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. What made Lucifer into the devil? Pride. He forgot that any wisdom and beauty and splendor he had came as a gift from God to reflect God's glory and not his own. We must beware the same daily mistakes. Pride comes before a fall. And when you think something has gotten so high and so mighty that they think they're God, if someone thinks they're God and they can do anything and everything they want to do, you better believe this. There's only one God, and he will not be replaced by a mere man or a demonic spirit or anything else. There is one God. And believe me when I say he sits on the throne, and he will not be replaced. Psalms 129, verses 1 through 4. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. And all we can say is, thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. We got to have that soon and very soon in our spirit that Andre Crouch wrote. You know, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. That's who we got to be, people of God who trust in our Father. Men and women of God who trust in our brother, who trust in the Savior, who trust in the one that died for us. I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. We got to keep that in our spirit and know that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And that is scripture which we are about to read. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I'm going to read that again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What are we going to do? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, that has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Can we say blessed beyond measure to be children of God? Hallelujah. We are children of God, blessed beyond measure. Thanking God today for his grace, for his love, for everything that he is to us, because he is the author and the finisher. He is our God. He is our absolute. He is our everything. Look to Jesus. And it tells us in our word this morning, again, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. You know, we got to go back to that word, spare the rod, spoil the child. God does not spare the rod on us. We get our behinds tore up when we know that we have done some stuff that is against our daddy, and our daddy is one that does not play. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjugation to the Father of spirits and live? But they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Hallelujah. Pursue peace with all people. Did you hear that? What does the word of God tell us? All these folks running around with a whole bunch of hate in their heart. Pursue peace with all people. Did it say only pursue peace with people that look like you? Pursue peace with people that act like you? Pursue peace with people that talk like you? No, it does not say that. It says pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food, come on now, let's call it like it was, sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And we all know that was during the time of Moses. They were so scared when God's voice came to them speaking those top 10 commandments. You know, we want to add a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff, over 600 certain things that we should not be doing. But the top 10 are the ones spoken directly to us and through Moses and written on the tablets. We better look at them top 10 every day. Go to Exodus chapter 20, read it, meditate on it, and know that that is God's word directly from the source. That it wasn't no he said, she said, but what God said. And we better understand it. It is no joking manner that you got to honor your father and your mother. You can't have covetous spirits. You can't be stealing, killing. You can't be having other gods before him. You can't bastardize the Sabbath and call it holy. We got to understand God is watching everything. I didn't mean to preach this morning, but this word is preaching itself. And as we continue, it says this. And so, terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet, once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yes, once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Woo, praise the Lord. What a word this morning. And I have a life, some life lessons from Dr. Stanley on this magnificent and mighty word today. Woo, Lord, thank you. It was a word this morning. And it says, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, which is the title of my word this morning, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, just as Abraham kept on his course of faith by trusting in God's promise to reward his obedience. So Jesus kept on his infinitely tougher course by looking toward God's promise to reward him for his obedience. Because you're going to tell me it was easy for him to go to the cross for our sinful selves? It was not. What did he say? Father, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to, but he knew he had to. He gave up freely his life for us. And all we have to do is freely believe in him and trust in him. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:11, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Nobody likes to be disciplined. It never feels good. It never puts a smile on your face or a spring in your step, at least not initially. But if we cooperate with God, when he corrects us, blessings always result. Understand, disobedience gets you chastened, gets you that little spanking that you deserve. I've told my testimony many a time how I only got spanked once by my godfather who raised me, who was my dad in every way but biologically. And I tell you this, he was my spiritual father. He was my father in every way. And I thank God for Henry Anderson. And I thank God for the discipline, because he only had to spank me once in my old life. Once did I get spanked by my dad. And I deserved it. I was a disobedient little girl, and I deserved that spanking. And I never, in all my years, all 60-something plus, have I forgotten that spanking, because I knew I deserved it. And I tell you one thing, I never disobeyed him again. And that's what God does. He spanks our behinds, and we know not to disobey him again. Dads have a place in our life. You know, I remember getting spanked by my godmother. But, you know, they was like, okay, you know, it was. You know how we are as children. Mom sometimes is a discipline, but when dad does something and dad speaks, you better listen. That's just like when our Father God speaks, you better listen. When our Savior speaks, you better listen. When the Holy Spirit speaks into you from the Father, Son, and from the Father and Son, you better listen. And God is telling us as a world, do right. Treat my planet right. Treat each other right. Love each other as I love you. All this hatred and all this craziness needs to be shaken off and stomped down into the dirt from whence it came. Back to the evil one in the pits of hell. We don't need all this hatred and bigotry and foolishness. It's just ridiculous. I'm anti. Anti means against. We got to not be anti anything. We got to be for love, for life, for God. Hebrews 12:28, life lessons from Dr. Stanley. It says, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace. Come on now. By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hallelujah. And Dr. Stanley says this, divine grace never encourages us to live in ungodly ways, but instead motivates us to fear and obey God in a healthy and reverent way. Grace enables us to serve, not to sin. Ooh, I'm going to read that again. Grace enables us to serve, not to sin. And that is our word this morning. If God has put anything on your heart, please push the number 1 on your phone or your social media or dial 213-943-3597 and your line will be open. Wow, that's all I can say this morning. What a word today. What a word. Thanking God for his grace this morning. Thanking God for his love this morning. Thanking God for just being who he is, a mighty and wonderful God. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And as always, right on point. Good morning. Wherever you go today, God will be right there. He is omnipresent. Have a thankful Thursday. Can I say that girl is on the case? It is in the spiritual wind. Hallelujah. God will be right there. Hallelujah. For he says in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. All we have to do is believe. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. It has been a great word. And again, I didn't mean to preach this morning, but when God puts a spirit in your body, you just got to get out what God tells you to get out and say what God tells you to say. So I thank God for this mighty word this morning and for his grace. Have a blessed day, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are all going to rejoice and be glad in it, thanking God for the do-over. Be blessed. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. Why? Because we're always willing, ready, available, and prayerfully praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed. It's a wrap. It's time to go to work. But in my case, it's time to go to the doctor. Love you all. Be blessed. Have a great day. Thank you again for your prayers. As you can tell, I'm feeling a lot better than I did on Tuesday. So thank you so much. Prayer does work. Righteous prayer avails much. And I thank you all for your righteous prayers, asking God for his healing power over me, because I am grateful that he has heard you, because I feel so much better, and I know it is the power of prayer. Thank you, and God bless you all. It is a wrap, and this time it is my official closing. Have a great day, family. And join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, God willing.